Right. We here?
We here.
All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
All right. Baruch Atah Adonai, Yahshua HaMashiach. Oh, so much grace he gives us. What a world we are in. Okay, I can't. I just realize from tonight how important this ministry is. I don't know how many ministries are even honest anymore. It's just really crazy now. I don't know. Well, I have one mentor pastor, Pastor Jewel Jones out there, 70, I think three or four, and he hops around like he's 12.
I know.
And right? He has been ministering for, I think, 30 something years. And he is a servant pastor, okay? Mm-hmm. We should all be servant pastors. We are not here to be served. We are here to serve others, okay?
Amen.
And I don't. We've got to do this right. I just don't know where God's judgment falls in that, but I'm going to make sure I'm on the right side of it, okay? Because we do not. If you guys ever hear of us trying to sell anything at S4C, you see us moving into the marketing department. Say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus,
amen.
Pastor Sandy and Pastor Ben,
yes.
Because that is not what you do with God. We're just like Paul. We do not peddle the word of God, thinking of a new way to sell Jesus. I don't know. Okay, Father, bring me back. Amen. Commercial's over. Okay, if you guys were here, this is a mature Bible study. This is a mature rapture study because we need to understand what's going on. You guys are going to absolutely love me when you're standing in the clouds in 2020 and you're praising God and you are saying, I'm glad I listened to that crazy person one more time, because I'm trying to do exactly what God has told me to do. And he's like, you're at the end of this. Do you realize if God is telling you you're at the end of your mission, this is the end of my mission. 2004 to 2020, thank God for it, but this is the end of my mission, okay? Lots of Bible study, lots of understanding, lots of getting to know who God is from Scripture, and this is the end of it, and I want you to get excited about this 120th year. How can we not have the common sense to understand that Moses turned over his ministry to God, to Jesus Christ, or to Joshua when he was 120.
Yes.
So 120, it seems to be that year that everything changes, okay? And the 120 year the flood came, we could go about it all day, but the thing you need to know tonight is Daniel chapter 24, because Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 is telling you about a 7-year period that Israel has to experience. Okay. Israel is going to experience a 7-year tribulation. Nothing has changed. I don't care how many YouTube people come up with, oh, it's going to, the tribulation's 14 years and all this and, please try to stay focused on simple, truthful Bible study and not get all caught up into different people and different teachings, because it's just going to confuse you, because that's what Satan wants to do. He's trying to confuse you in these last days, and he wants you to put it down and say, well, nobody really knows, or, you know, or be discouraged. You don't have to be discouraged. This is very simple. Israel has 7 years of tribulation that they must experience, and the church is not part of it. So understand that if the church is not part of it, where do you want to be during the tribulation? Do you want to be with God, or do you want to be here on earth? It's a simple thing. You get to choose. As a Christian, you get to choose by the lifestyle that you live. Okay, because God has already said there are three type of people that will not get raptured: lukewarm, Those who do not have their garment with them, meaning the Holy Spirit, those who have no oil in their lamp, okay? So God is letting you know, he's not just saying everybody gets raptured, no problem, no matter whether you're lukewarm, whether you're complacent, whether you have no oil in your lamp, whether you don't have your garment on. He's not saying that. He's saying these are the prerequisites. That's why he's letting you know that, okay? So let's not be lukewarm. Let's make sure that we keep our garment with us, which is the Holy Spirit. That means you're listening to the Holy Spirit as he's teaching you, as he's trying to get you to stop doing certain things, and that you have the anointing oil in your lamp because you've been in your word. You're excited about God. You're excited about being a part of his family, and you're not trying to do some lukewarm relationship with God. Okay.
Amen. Man.
Get on fire. If you're not, this is a great year to get on fire. Okay?
Pastor Sandy, do you remember a couple weeks ago a young man was online and he said he's going to kill himself?
Yeah.
Did Ryan tell you about that?
I know they stayed on the phone with him for the whole time.
They've been ministering with him, talking to him. Him and his wife are back together. He's got a job. He's got transportation. He's given his life back over to Christ. And they are doing super fantastic because the men at the church here have been praying with him and ministering to him.
Wow. See, that's what. See, this is why I love Deacon, Greg. Ryan, Deacon Lloyd. Deacon Greg. I mean, all of them are really, we are concentrated on souls, ministering to souls. And we're not going to get off of that. We're not going to get off of that.
Brandon Beers,
that's his name. Is he on tonight? Okay, well, praise God for Brandon and his wife, and thank God that that God led him to us so that that he could be ministered to. That's the second time. Hallelujah. So now, this is a continuation from Sunday. Mm-hmm. So what did I show you on Sunday? I'm trying to show you that God already knows what's happening, okay? I'm trying to let you know that God is involved in today's world. That he knows that it's the 120th year, okay? God knows that Trump is president, okay? Now look, this right here I showed you on Sunday to let you know that Revelation chapter 17 told you that the Catholic Church would wear purple and scarlet, purple and red, okay? He let you know that in 90 AD, okay? On this paper, God already let you know that the RFID code was coming, that this chip was coming. God has already let you know that, so that when it comes, you'll know that God already knew. Because God wants you to have confidence in him in these last days, okay? Mm-hmm. Now we're going to look at... Before we go to Daniel chapter 9, I want us to look at one more thing that God showed us, and that will be in the book of Zephaniah, chapter 2. So go to Zephaniah chapter 2. Mm-hmm. Glad I have my... It's here so I can have... Zephaniah chapter 2.
Oh, you remembered your glasses.
Yes, I did. Amen. Okay. Zephaniah chapter 2, and we are going to be in verse 4. Okay, there's Zephaniah. Okay. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 4. This is what it says. It says, Gaza will be abandoned. Okay? Now, and it said, and Ashkelon, the areas around it, left in ruin. At midday, listen what it's saying. At midday, Ashdod will be emptied and Ekron rooted out. Woe to you who live by the sea, O Kirahites, people, meaning the Palestinians, okay? The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, land of Palestine, okay? So, understand this. He's going to have to... Step out, this kid. if you don't be quiet. Okay, so understand this. In 2005, an event happened that God prophesied right here in the Bible. What did he prophesy? He prophesied that Gaza would be forsaken, okay? Gaza belonged to the Israelites. Gaza belonged to the Jewish people. Yet, even though Gaza belonged to them since 1967, you've got 8,000 people living in Gaza with homes, businesses, synagogues. They decided, who decided? The leadership of Israel decided that if we give Gaza, the Jews give Gaza to the Palestinians, they've promised us that we will have peace. Well, they gave Gaza to the Palestinians 2005, and that thing turned into a mess. Would you agree?
Yes.
Shooting rockets from over there, shooting bombs from over there toward Israel. All Gaza did was give them a platform to continue an assault against the nation of Israel, right?
Right.
Okay. When this happened, the scripture says at noonday, this is what it was going to occur. At noonday, on that day, they went into Gaza. They pulled Jewish people. The Jewish military is pulling Jewish citizens out of their homes and dragging them out of Gaza because they are no longer allowed to be in Gaza because they worked it out where Gaza is now going to belong to the Palestinians. Let me look at this.
It was bad.
This is the guy who was the president at the time, Sharon. And if you look at this, now, remember what happened to him after he did this?
Ariel Sharon.
Do you remember what happened to him after he did this?
Didn't they shoot him? No, he had a stroke for like
he had a stroke.
Years, right?
And he stayed in that coma for how long? All the way to 2014.
Yeah, long time.
Okay? Now, who were the people who talked Ariel Sharon into doing this? These people.
Not the U.S.
Of course it was. Remember, it was Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah.
Condoleezza Rice and George Bush who talked Sharon into giving away Gaza, and then you're going to have peace.
Right after that,
48 hours after that, what happened to the United States?
Katrina.
You see Katrina at the bottom there? We got Katrina, okay? But listen to, this is the most important part. It happens on the 9th of Av, which is the same day that both temples are ruined, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it happens on the 9th of Av. And the other thing that is crazy about it is that it happened not only that Gaza was forsaken, but God wrote in here at noonday was when it was going to happen. They went in at noon in the brightness of the day and pulled these people out of their homes.
Wow.
So I'm just saying God is still involved in the prophecy of what goes on in the world. So a lot of people think nothing's going to happen. You know, the world will always be the same. We'll always have this. We'll always have that. There'll be TV and we'll have sports and blah, 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 blah. And that's because you weren't here at the beginning. You just came in in the middle of something that's going on. And nobody has told you that God is involved and God is in charge of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So God has planned that there's going to be a 7-year tribulation. God has planned that. So let's go to Daniel chapter 9. We could go all day talking about all the things that God has prophesied in the Bible and has done. So let's go here. Daniel chapter 9. I'm going to explain Daniel chapter 9 real fast because we have to move on to what's going on, what will be going on in this 7 years, okay? So you are you in Daniel chapter 9? Okay. Chapter verse 24. Listen to this as it says. It says, I need to read from. Okay. I'm going to start at verse 20, okay? This is Daniel speaking. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins and the sins of my people, Israel, and making my requests to the Lord, my God, for his holy hill, while I was still praying, Gabriel, the man I had seen earlier in the vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you. For you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider this message and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people, Daniel. Who's Daniel's people?
The Jewish
people. This is a prophecy to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgressions, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring an everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision of the prophecy, and to anoint the Kadosh Kadoshim, the Holy of Holies. Yeah. So he says, at the end, the Holy of Holies is going to be anointed. Do you know what the Holy of Holies is? That's the area of the temple where the Spirit of God resides, okay? So now he's telling you this, look, if there's not going to be a temple, you can't anoint the Holy of Holies. You understand? So he's letting you know right here, there will be a temple at the end. We'll continue on that. Now it says, know and understand this, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be 77s and 62 sevens. Excuse me. Okay. 77s and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and trenches, but in times of trouble. After the 62 and 7, how much is 62 plus 7?
62 plus 7,
69. How many sevens have been decreed? 7 times 70. Okay? 70 are decreed. Listen as I go back. It says 77s are decreed for your people. But here it says after 62 and 7, okay, it will be rebuilt, the trenches. Wait a minute. It says the anointed one, the ruler, will come. Know and understand. Verse 25, know and understand, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed ruler comes, there will be 77s and 62 sevens. Okay, so what is the decree? He says, from the decree to the anointed ruler comes, there will be 69 sevens. Okay. Who is the anointed ruler that they're waiting for to come? The Messiah, Jesus Christ. But in our notes, you have to understand this. He's coming as the Hebrew, the Mashiach Nagid. He's coming as the Messiah, ruler, and king. But the Nagid means he's going to rule by example, okay? So the Mashiach Nagid is coming, but he's not going to come until 69 years after the decree. You understand? 69 times 7 is how much? 483. So that means they never got to the last 7 years, because the decree was for 70. But Jesus came at the 69. Now, when he came, something's going to happen to him because he's going to enter into. Now, if you do the count from the book of Nehemiah, we'll go there, to Jesus Christ as he comes into Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan, that is the day that he's supposed to declare himself as king. What happened when he came into Jerusalem? He's on a donkey. The people are standing around declaring him as king of Israel. The Pharisees tell him to tell these people to be quiet. And he says, no. Okay, so, and Jesus is the one that set up this day. You understand? Because there were many times in scripture that Jesus would do something and they would try to grab him and make him king. But it wasn't his turn to declare himself as king. But now on this particular day, he says, you go here and get the donkey and bring the donkey here. And I'm going to, and he gets on this donkey and he parades himself into Jerusalem. And the people are calling him the king of Israel.
Amen.
So the Mashiach Nagid appeared on that day, but it's 69 of the 70, 483 years. What happened to the last 7 years? Because it's been more than 7 years since Jesus did that, right? So what happens to the last 7 years?
They're on hold.
Exactly. So now God said, I'm going to set your 7 years aside. This 7 years is for Israel. We'll get back to this later. Okay. And so Jesus comes into the thing. Now, someone said, no, that scripture's talking about something else. This is very specific, and I'm going to tell you why. First of all, he's got to be the Messiah, the Prince, or the Mashiach Nagid. The second thing, in verse 26, it says, after the 62 and 7, the Mashiach, the Messiah, will be cut off, but not for himself. Okay? Now, at the end of this 69, whoever this Messiah is, he has to die. Okay? But the word karat in Hebrew has a double meaning. It means to be killed for a capital crime, okay? But it also means at the same time to start a blood covenant. So the king that comes at the 69 sevens has to not only die, he has to start a blood covenant. Who else could even fulfill that prophecy except Jesus, right?
Amen.
So the prophecy can't be fulfilled at any other time. It can only be fulfilled at this specific time because the one who's coming has to die. He has to be cut out. He has to die and he has to start a blood covenant at the same time. So it can only be talking about Jesus. Okay. Are you still with me? Okay. So I'm going to read this. After the 62 and 7, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will destroy the city and the sanctuary. So after Jesus died, what happened to the city and the sanctuary? It's right there on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
70 AD happened.
Yeah.
The city was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. So The ruler, they came and they destroyed the city and the sanctuary. All that is done. And it says the end will come like a flood. But now he's talking about the very end of time. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end. The desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with the many for 1-7.
Antichrist.
Who's going to confirm a covenant with the many for 1-7? The Antichrist, okay? Now, understand the word confirm. It means he's going to give strength to it. He's going to put it in action and give power to it, okay? It's not the guy that designs the covenant. He's only coming in and he's confirming it. That means it's already in existence before he gets here. So he confirms it. He sees the covenant and he confirms it and gives strength to it and gives power to it. So now it says he's going to confirm a covenant with the many for 1/7. But that means that Israel is not going to get their last 7 years until who comes? The Antichrist comes and does what? Confirms the covenant with them for 7 years. Okay? So now, anybody coming to you saying the tribulation is lasting 14 years or all this stuff is absolutely nuts. Why? Because they're getting away from Scripture, and to preach against God's word is very dangerous. Israel has 7 years coming, okay? And the church has to be removed so that God can get back to dealing with Israel. It says here that at the very end, the Holy of Holies will be anointed. That means a temple has to be standing, okay? But we'll talk about this temple in a minute. Okay, so here are the important words. From the decree, which starts in Nehemiah, to Jesus Christ, there'll be 483 years, okay? They were promised 490. 7 years is missing. Okay? Jesus comes, and it says he has to be the Mashiach Nagid. He has to be the prince and the ruler. He has to be the one who rules by example. He does that. After he comes, it says he must be cut off. He must be cut off, it says in English, but the Hebrew word is he must die and start a blood covenant at the same time. Okay, and he does that. Now, to get their 7 years back, they're waiting on the Antichrist to come and confirm a covenant. But guess what? He can't come until we leave.
Right.
And these are the things we have to understand. So now, I'm going to finish reading this and then we're going to move on. It says, he will confirm a covenant with the many for 1/7. In the middle of the seven, do you hear that? In the middle of the 7 years, he will put an end to sacrifice and offerings. Wait a minute, the Jews are not allowed to do sacrifices and offerings unless there's a temple standing. So that means when he comes, a temple is going to be standing. Okay? Now he says he will put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that will cause his desolation, something God hates that's going to cause his destruction. Okay? He says, until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Okay? So now, here we have God's plan. It's set. You're living in the last days. You're living in actually the last year. Okay? So, rather you want to believe it or not, you get left behind. It will not be because of Pastor Sandy. All right? You have the opportunity to say, I'm only human. I wasn't here when things were created, but God wrote a book and I need to pay attention. Okay? Or you can say, I don't have to do anything. I don't feel like doing. And God says, you're absolutely right. That's why I gave you a free will. You can go to hell if you like. Enjoy, right? So you have the opportunity to listen to God. And God has already given you his plan. Now, let's go to Psalms chapter 120. Psalms 120. I just want to know why people don't understand something so simple. This is what I want to know. Out of all the books in the Bible, okay, God picks one book to document every year for 120 years. All the books in the Bible. And that book just happens to be the 19th book of the Bible and going forward, and happens to be 48 books of the Bible going backwards. So it's the 19th and 48th book of the Bible. And Israel is born 1948. Okay? So It's one book that is going to document year by year, every year, what's going to happen in that. And then when it gets to Psalms 120, it starts this whole new thing called the Psalm of Ascent. And then now you get the next seven chapters of Psalms that purely documents the tribulation.
Yes.
That tells you exactly what's going to happen in the year 2020, how it's going to happen, what's going to transpire from year to year for the next 7 years. It's telling you it's going to do that. Yet we can't get people to just understand a simple thing. Okay, this is not hard. Okay? If you know of another book that documents every year of the Bible all the way up to the 120th. Now, when we think about it, the 120 is always the changing of everything, okay? Because God told Noah, my spirit will not always live with man, okay? My spirit will not always dwell with man. But I'm telling you, Noah, you got 120 years and judgment is coming. And Noah listened. He said, build this ark, right? For 120 years, they're preparing this ark for one purpose. What's the purpose of building an ark? Because God said judgment was coming in the 120th. Noah believed God. Pastor Sandy believes God. That's why I'm telling you this, okay? So in the 120th year, the flood comes. Noah's on the boat, and seven others are with him. At the end of our 120, Jesus is on the boat,
yes,
and the seven churches.
Yes.
Is that a coincidence?
No.
So God is trying to tell you, look, there's plenty of life to have after earth. All you have to do is listen now. You understand?
Amen.
Trying to give them eternal life, Pastor Ben.
Amen.
Okay, so let's look at this in Psalms 120. There's so much deception in the world. You guys are going to have to slow down a lot of the false teachers that we grew up listening to, because they're not trying to lead you home.
Right.
They're trying to market you.
Yep.
Got people out here starting YouTubes so they can get Patreon. Be my Patreon. Be my Patreon. I need Patreons. Oh, I wish we could just, I wish YouTube would just cut off all Patreons. It's like, you can't do it no more. Because everybody wants to start a YouTube so that they can get people to give to them. And what's the fastest way to get people to give? I'm talking about the rapture. And God didn't call them to talk about the rapture. This is not God's word is nothing to play with. You understand? Let's go. All right, here we are. If you have your paper with you, it says in 2020, the first thing that will happen in the world with Israel is going to have trouble. Okay? Because once the church leaves, the restrainer that stops Satan from doing all that he wants to do in the world will be removed. Once the restrainer is gone, which is the church, now you think Satan is going to, like, okay, the church is gone, let's take over Nevada. No. He has one place where he hates more than anything, and that's Israel, okay? So, in Psalms 120, let's see if it sounds like Israel is in trouble. Psalms 120. I called on the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What will he do to you? It says, what will he do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrow, with burning coals of broom trees. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. It says, too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Is that how it's going on in Israel right now?
Yeah.
So when we leave, the restrainer will be removed. So therefore, now it's time to attack Israel.
Yeah.
He says, we are people of peace. And I believe this. If Palestinians weren't there, if the Palestinians would stop shooting missiles over and attacking them, I think they could have peace there. But they don't want peace. They want Israel destroyed. And so this is what God is fighting against. This is what God's been fighting. Isn't it incredible that the same people that came out of Egypt are still the main people in the news all day?
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, they've been in the front page of the news since the flood? Come on. So it's and it's still all about Israel, okay?
Yeah.
Now, in year 2021, Israel gets protection from God and a peace agreement, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to read it. It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He will watch over you and will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will never slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. So God promises them, don't worry about your enemy. I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So HaKol HaVarim BeYisrael, they need to know that God is with them. Because what they're going to go through is another blow. And the Jews have been through enough blows.
Yes.
But now it's going to come another blow that these people, the church, your friend has been removed.
Mm-hmm.
And now your enemies are now coming against you.
Yes.
Psalms 122. In the year 2022, there will be a temple standing in Israel.
Yes.
Okay? There will be a temple standing in Israel. The whole goal of the Illuminati is to have a third temple.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
That's their whole. If you talk to any of them, if they will seriously talk to you,
mm-hmm.
they will tell you, what's our goal? Is to make sure that we get the third temple built.
Yes.
Why? Because they believe that the power of resurrection is in the temple of God, and that if they don't get the temple built, they'll never get eternal life, because Satan has promised them that they're going to get eternal life, but they have to build the temple and have a place for him to sit.
Yeah.
And so their whole goal is building this temple.
Yeah.
All right. So in the year 2022, listen, the Jews do not say, right now, let's go to the house of the Lord. You know why they don't say that? There is no house of the Lord there. You know what they say now? Let's go to the HaKotel HaMaravi. Because that's their church right now. You see that? That's their church. They don't have the house of the Lord. Pastor, he said he wanted you to turn and look at it. But now you don't have to do that. Because they know that. They've been there. Look, they don't have a temple. But you need to understand, they don't have a temple, but they're going to have a temple. Why? Who wants it built? The Antichrist wants it built, because he can go and sit there and then declare to the world that he's God, because that's God's place to sit,
yeah.
not the Antichrist.
Amen.
Listen to what they say in the year 2022, Psalms 122. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gate, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compact together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribe of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statutes given to Israel. There, the throne for judgment stands, the throne of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within the citadel. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. So the temple will be standing in the year 2022, a physical temple. Okay? Do not listen to the people on YouTube who say, oh, he's saying that the temple is really, we're the temple, and Satan is going to sit on our hearts, and that's the temple he's talking about, because he's never going to build a physical temple. He's talking about the temple that's our heart. So therefore, you know, if you're saying the name Jesus, you're defiling your temple, because and you have the temple in your... Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it can get really foolish. I'm going to read to you, and you don't have to go there, but I'm going to read to you Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Listen to this. It says, I was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar, count the worshipers there, but exclude the outer court. Do not measure it, because it has been given over to the Gentiles. They will trample over the city for 42 months, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So he tells them to go and measure the temple. How are you going to measure the temple if it's in your heart? You understand? And he's telling them, and you know it's the middle of the tribulation, because he's telling them that the outer course has been given to the Gentiles, because they're going to trample over it for 1,260 days, which is what? 3.5 years. Or 42 months, which is what? 3.5 years. So you know that he's talking about this is right in the middle of the tribulation. Okay. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm there. You guys don't have to go there, but I'm there so that I can read it for you. But you can, as long as you keep your hand back in Psalms, okay?
15, Pastor.
All right. So now listen to what this says. Concerning the... No, I don't want to read that. This is 2 chapter 2. Okay, this is chapter 2. Oh, okay. Thessalonians.
First to second.
Second Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Okay, it says, do not let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until a apostasia occurs. Okay, I looked up apostasia again today in the Greek. It means a defection, decamping, to take flight, or to pull out of a war, okay? It does not mean you left your religion. That's what the church has been teaching people for years.
Yeah.
Before the Antichrist can come, there must first be a departure.
Uh-huh.
A defection.
That's what someone just said.
Defection. Now, when we leave... Is the war over?
No.
The word apostasia is directly connected to pulling out of a war, taking flight away from a war. Okay? So once we leave, the war is not over. We pulled out because God said, take flight. It's time to go.
Yes.
Jesus will finish the war,
yes.
But there's going to be a defection, okay?
Yes.
So, listen what it's saying now. It's saying, do not let anyone deceive you in any way, for the day will not come unless there a defection occurs,
mm-hmm.
a leaving, a departure occurs. The man of lawlessness and the man of lawlessness is revealed. So the defection must occur, and then he will appear. The man doomed to destruction, he will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in what? In God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. That's what's in the Illuminati religious book. Satan wants to sit in the temple. Therefore, they have plans to they've got the whole thing set up. Do you know if they gave him the okay right now, they could have that place up in 3 months?
Yep.
They have all the plans. They have a whole organization all geared about rebuilding the temple.
Yep.
And they're just waiting for the okay.
Yes,
so that's going to happen. Here, let's go back to Psalms 120, because we're in Psalms 123. Okay. Now, in Psalms 123, there's still going to be hatred for Israel. Okay.
Amen.
Even though they have their temple built, there's still going to be hatred for them. Psalms 123 says, I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven, and the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their masters. As the eyes of the maid looks to the hand of the mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we have endured much contempt. Israel is talking. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant. So that means the world is still going to hate Israel, even though they got their own temple and the Antichrist has declared peace.
Wow.
But they still hate them. But now that the temple is built, who's going to go to the temple and declare himself to be God? The Antichrist. You think the Jews are going to accept that?
No.
And if they don't accept it, what do you think is going to happen?
Attack
and kill them all, right? Because his idea is, I want the people that you call your people to worship me while I sit in your temple. And God said, it ain't going to happen. And the Jewish people saying, it's not going to happen. We're not worshiping you. So now what happens in Psalms 124? Now we're in the middle of the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
So what's coming? The middle of the tribulation. First of all, the scripture says they're going to stop. He's going to stop the sacrifices. So now they shouldn't have been sacrificing anyway.
Right.
Because the Messiah already came. And if you woke up, you would realize the Messiah already came. The last sacrifice has already been sacrificed. So you shouldn't be sacrificing anything during the tribulation. But you're so happy to get back to Judaism. And God's like, okay, I'll give you your last 7 years. But understand this. It doesn't change the fact that Jesus Christ is still your Messiah. And the only saving is going to come through him.
Amen.
Okay? So, amen.
Amen.
So here we go. We're in Psalms 124. It says, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel now say what? Watch this. 118.
You're on fire, Pastor John.
Watch this. Wait a minute. Let Israel now say, it says in 118, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel now say, his love endures forever. Okay? Let the house of Aaron now say, his love endures forever. Now listen to what they're saying here. They don't finish the sentence. It says in the middle of the tribulation, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel now say his love endures forever. If the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging water would have swept us away. I'm going to read Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, I believe, 5 or 15. Let's see. 15. What does it say here? It says, then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. So Satan sends an attack against Israel.
Yes.
And they're praising God. They're saying, if it was not for you, we would have been destroyed. Let Israel now say his love endures forever.
Yes.
This whole world is at a spiritual war between God, Satan, his demons, and he's got a church in the world that he's got to pull out of here.
Yes.
And he's got a people in the world that he's got to protect.
Yes.
And make everything that he say be fulfilled.
Yes.
Israel ain't going nowhere. But the church is leaving.
Yes.
And you guys had better know that. Because when the church leaves, I was going to say it's too late, but you know you can get saved during the tribulation.
Yeah,
all you got to do is get your head chopped off believing in Jesus.
That's it.
Or get murdered believing in Jesus. But yeah. You're going to make a stance for Jesus now and leave, or you can make a stance for Jesus during the tribulation, okay? But one way or the other, you're going to have to make a stance for Jesus,
yeah.
Okay? Who wants to go through all that to get to heaven when God is like, I've made a simple, easy door. When I open it, I'll blow the trumpet and just come on in. You're like, no, I don't want to go that way. I want to run around from the Antichrist for 7 years and dodge and get burnt and try to find food. And because you won't be able to eat, I mean, buy or sell anything unless you can take the mark.
Yeah.
The problem with this is that every prophecy has come true. This is that's a big problem, okay?
It's a big problem.
The problem is what I'm telling you, the guy who's telling me to tell you this, everything that he prophesied has come true.
Everything.
So the day is coming where the church is leaving, okay? Are you going to be with us?
Yeah.
Here we go. So in 24, God rescues them, okay? Now, 25, what happens? In 25, God protects Israel even more. But in Psalms 126, is shocking. Listen to this part. You guys there? Psalms 126? It says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like men who dreamed. They mean when we came back to Israel, we were like men who dreamed. This was a wonderful thing. Our mouths were filled with laughter. Our tongues were with songs of joy. Then it was said again amongst the nation, the Lord has done great things for them, right? When they came back to Israel, the whole world said, look what God has done for the Jews. He's given them back their land. He says, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Now they're in the tribulation. They're saying, restore our fortune, O Lord, like the stream in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, or he who left weeping and crying and carrying the seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying his sheaves with him. Now, if you don't study your word, you won't know that God just told you he's going to return, but he's coming back with his sheaves with him. Who are the sheaves? The wheat harvest, the barley harvest. He's saying, I'm going to come back. I'm the same guy who left weeping. Okay? I left weeping because I didn't want to leave you, but I took those who were in captivity, I took them up to heaven with me. But the same person that left sad is also going to return, and he's not returning by himself. Did Moses go back to Egypt by himself, or did he?
Family with him.
He said, he told his wife, get on, we're going back to Egypt. Jesus is coming back with us. And I'm going to read this. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 14. I'll finish up, Pastor Ben.
That's a good word, Pastor Sandy.
Zechariah chapter 14, verse 3 to 5. It says, then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights in the days of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. We're not talking about a cloud now. Remember? He comes down to the cloud and he calls us up.
Right.
Now it says when he comes back, his foot's going to step and touch the mountain. You hear that?
Amen.
And it says on that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving north and the other half moving south. You will flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fled from the earthquakes in the day of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all of the holy ones with him. You hear that? So some of your Bibles say the Lord will come and with all of the saints with him. But he's not just coming with the saints. The angels are flying behind. The church is in the, Jesus is in the front. The church is behind him dressed in white. The legions of angels are also coming. You never saw something what we're going to see. You can't even imagine. First, you're going to be on a white horse. Jesus is going to be on a white horse, and you're going to be on a horse behind Jesus coming back to earth to rescue Israel with many angels behind him. This is Jesus saying, okay, checkmate, time's up.
Right.
And we need to be excited about our future. You're like, that sounds too big. Same God did you? Listen, the God that wants to save you created the sun.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even get too close without burning up.
Right.
He created it. Okay. That means out of himself, he created this little bitty thing called the sun, which little we bitty. See as big.
Little bitty.
He created this little thing called the sun and put it there. And that sun gives all of us life. And we can't figure out what is coming out of the sun that allows us to live. And if the sun disappeared, whatever's coming from that sun, we would drop dead if the sun disappeared. Do you know that? If the sun disappears, we all die.
Yeah.
But God put it in the sky for us. And God is trying to let you know this is a spiritual war. I'm trying to get souls in heaven, and the enemy's trying to get souls in hell. And I've already agreed in scripture that he will get more than me, because those that are saved are few.
Yeah.
You know why it's few? Because we have free will. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
You don't have to believe nothing you don't want to believe. You don't have to believe anything you don't want to believe. You could turn to God and go, I don't care. I really don't care. Yeah, I know you wrote a book. I know every prophecy in the world. I know Hitler already prophesied in the book 700 years before he was born. I know his death and the death of his 10 henchmen was already prophesied during the book of Esther. I know you created Germany in Genesis 10 and told Israel they're going to go to Germany and that's where they're going to be punished. And that happened exactly. I know they, after 3 years of 6 million being killed, they entered back into the land 3 years later, like the resurrection of Christ. Yeah. I know you're doing all this, God, but I don't want to believe you're real.
Wow.
Forget the Gaza thing. I know that happened too, but forget that. I don't believe you're real. You don't have to. It's up to you. But I guarantee you want this one thing. All of us are going to live somewhere forever.
Yes.
You're going to live. Don't think you're going to disappear. It's impossible to get rid of life.
Energy doesn't disappear.
You can't disappear. So I'm trying to get us to leave in this year, 2020, the 120th year, which God has documented in Psalms, everything that's going to happen. And now he's just documented the 7 years of tribulation right at the beginning of Psalms 120.
Amen.
Okay. Last thing here. Psalms 127.
And your board.
Do we have time, Pastor Ben?
We do.
Do we have the board? I'm going through the board right now. Oh, Jesus produces his own children. Watch this. Okay, look at this. let's go to Isaiah 66, verse 7 first. Isaiah 66, verse 7. Do I got 4 minutes, Pastor Ben?
You do.
Okay. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 7. Here it is. Before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains come upon her, she delivers a son. Who is that? He's saying that the nation of Israel, before, now you know a woman can't have a child until they go into labor. You go into labor, then you have the child, right? I don't know. I've never had. Abigail, can you confirm? Can you have the child before labor? It's never been heard of, right? Israel, the nation of Israel, is going to produce a child before any pain comes upon her. That means before the tribulation happens, Israel is going to produce a child. That's the church. Okay? But now listen to what it says. It says, before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pain comes upon her, she delivers a son. Who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such a thing? Can a country be born in one day, or a nation be born, brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner does Zion in labor, once she goes into labor, really, you hear that? No sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. So now she already goes birth to a son, but now she goes into labor, and it says now she's going to give birth to her children. Do I bring to the moment of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Do I close up the womb when I bring to delivery, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All you who love her, rejoice greatly with her. All you who mourn over her, for all, it says, for you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breast. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. He's telling the world, we're all going to enjoy Israel when they get delivered.
Yes.
For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like the flooding streams. You will nurse and be carried on her arms. Okay, now, so Israel's got to give birth to her children. Mm-hmm. You understand? She already gave birth before she went into the tribulation to the church, because we come out of Israel, right?
Yes.
Now, okay, we're going to read Psalms 127, then we're going to finish. Psalms 127.
At the end of the 7 years.
This is the end of the 7 years. Christ, he already came back with the sheaves. And it says, unless the Lord builds the house, his builders labor in vain. You know why? You know who built that temple? The Antichrist. You think Jesus is going to let it stand? No. Jesus already said, when I come, I will build the temple. Okay? Jesus is going to build the temple when he gets here. So that temple is getting burnt up. Okay? Then it says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for the food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons or children are a heritage for the Lord. Children, a reward for him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is filled with them. Who? What? Them who? Children. Why? Israel is going to produce, the nation of Israel going to be saved, and God's going to produce his own children. Yeah. Not just the one that came before the labor pains, because that's the church. But he says when he returns, he's going to produce his own children. And he says, blessed is the man who has a quiver of children that he can say, these are now my own children. You understand? Blessed is the man who quivers is filled with them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Talking about Israel. Until all the way for the next 15 chapters, it's all about Israel rejoicing over being saved and over their Messiah coming. Let us now say, the love of the Lord continues forever. Now let us say that he has now become our Yeshua. Yeah. They're now calling him Yeshua. They're not calling him that horrible name that they call him, saying, may your name be removed from memory. Now they're going to call him Messiah. He says, when he comes, everyone will see him. Even those who pierced him are going to see him. We're not talking to you about a story. This is not some, story that's been made up. You can go back in history and date and recount everything that's in that Bible and show you the day and the time that it happened. And everything happened exactly when God said it was going to happen. And we're still here. And God says something else is going to happen. Two will be in the field. One will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other one left. Okay? God says this is going to happen. Are you going to be gone or are you going to be left? Because if you're gone, you went with the Messiah to be a friend and a companion. If you left, God just divorced you. And now you've got to deal with the earth without the presence of God. His spirit will not dwell with men, for his days shall be 120 years. And you're there, 120 years since 1900. You're there. It's time for us to gird up and start living like Christians and not just talking Christianity. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You did